Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Wendy Nichols gave me a word like she does every day. She hears God. She writes it down. She gives it to me. And then somewhere along the line, somewhere, Ron starts just almost word for word saying what she's getting. And, you know, so I go back and encourage us. You know, sometimes it's just out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. God gets the job done. Being a prophetic house, not everybody can say what they have. You just got to, as leadership, you become the filter and the gate. And so basically the word is he is a consuming fire, and God is in the business right now of consuming some things from your last season so he can purify you to your next season. The title to today's message would be a zigzag season, parentheses, but what have I done? What have I done? If you know the story of Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30, all the way down about 28, 29 verses is really where I'm going to highlight. But I want to tell you a story about King David. How many have got a promise from God that you're supposed to sit in a place of rulership or ministry or authority? Sometime, some form. I mean, you know, I've had prophecies. I was going to be a missionary to Africa. Don't get any ideas either. I ain't going. You know, when I was 12, I got called out by a prophet. And he said, I see you with a sea of African-American people. I see all this. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a missionary. Didn't work out for you. It doesn't always come the way you think it's supposed to. And the problem is if we don't understand that God gives you promises that are beyond your comprehension because he wants you to have to trust him for the journey, you'll get discouraged and you'll quit. The other problem we have is we forget that God is a generational God. You think it's about you. It might be your children's children. So when you have those factors wrong, your pride comes up and goes, well, God's promised me and I'm supposed to be pastor of this church and I'll give you the keys. And we'll find out if you really are anointed. Because these people are crazy. You better be called by God. But what I'm saying is that the journey has to become an enjoyment or you'll become bitter and not better. And so when I look at King David, and I love King David because he made enough mistakes to make me look good. Some of you need to read David. Give yourself some hope there, bro. Especially you, Dan. Anyway. But here's the issue is it, and I had an experience this morning. I'm busy, a lot of stress. So my sleeping is all messed up and Susie's is messed up too. So I'm up at like 4:15 this morning, reading these passages, getting a handle on the Ziklag story, which is chapter 30. So I'm reading chapter 27, 25, 28, just trying to get a handle on what was David's emotional state of being when Ziklag happened? Because Ziklag was his final test before he took the throne. Okay? Ziklag was the final test before he actually came into what God called him to do. And I'm telling you, I believe that we are in a Ziklag season as a church. I personally know that I am, which means I need to start guarding my emotions. Why? Because if I react inappropriately, I'll have to go take that lap around the mountain again. I told God the other day, I'm so sick and tired of asking people for forgiveness. And God says, I'm so sick and tired of the way you're behaving. but listen, and I really think that when we're the closest to our promotion, it's when the enemy comes in to sidetrack you. And the greatest way to sidetrack you is to get you discouraged and you curse yourself. Why? Because you're your prophet of your own destiny. I forgot what it was. You are the prophet of your own destiny. You speak your future. And if you're negative, you're disappointed, or your hope has been deferred, and you're saying, you are literally killing your own calling. That was good. But here's the interesting thing that happened is I went back and read several chapters, and Ziklag was the final test. But I'm telling you, there's several tests that came up to Ziklag. David had gotten discouraged with Saul. Saul was sitting on the throne. Saul was the anointed one from God. But Saul was going through his own crisis and was attempting to kill David. Why? Because he recognized that the anointing of God was on David and was shifting off of him. It's called a church shift. I have a word on my desk that says the waifs are coming. A waif is someone who was an orphan who had property. And I got that word years ago, and I looked at it again this morning. He says, the waifs are coming. I said, oh, my Lord, that fits this message. Let me tell you who a waif is. A waif is somebody that was in church, got anointed by God, started the process, got hurt, and went back to the world. Or could preach better in a bar than in a church. Actually had more influence in a bar than a church. And we want to call them backslidden. I think God just hid them from some of us mean leaders. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Really? There was a season where Susie and I just took our tithe money and took people to dinner. We didn't want anything to do with church. Now I are one of those guys. There's a season that God will have to hide you for a while. Why? For your own protection. Or you might have come to enough anointing to where their protection, because if you curse leaders, you're in trouble. So here's David. Here's David that gets upset with Saul. And verse 20, let me get biblical here. Chapter 26, David and his men had Saul's in a situation to where they went into Saul's camp. In this camp, Saul was asleep. And it says that God put Saul into a deep sleep, and David's men and David went and took the spear that was driven into the ground next to his head and his water jug. And then went farther enough away and started hollering at him, hey! He was letting them know, I could have killed you, but I saw the anointing on you. I wouldn't do it. Listen, there's some really strong prophetic people who have never gone through the process, and they start... You start cursing the anointed and wonder why they're not anymore. So it's interesting when I read this that God put Saul into a deep sleep, and David was able to steal his spear and his jug of water, and then he goes at a distance from a hill, wakes up the guy who's supposed to be the armor bearer protecting him, and ridicules him. Hey, dude! What kind of man are you, leaving your king in a vulnerable place? He goes, I got his spear, I got his jug, and he starts ripping the number two guy, the armor bearer. I'm thinking, that would be me. I would do that. I would let you know I could have killed him, but it's your fault because you're asleep. But it said God put them in a deep sleep. God will put leaders around you into a deep sleep to test you. Years ago, I was in a church, and I swear the pastor was in a deep sleep. But he was doing things in his sleep he shouldn't have been too. But the test was I going to protect him or expose him? This morning, as I was writing some things down, he says, you passed that test because you covered him. Therefore, 13 years later, you were able to restore him. If you're unwilling to cover, you've lost the ministry of reconciliation. That man came and preached in this pulpit after he spent time in prison. I took heat because I put him in this pulpit. But I covered him when it was critical for my own journey. Guard your mouth. Guard your emotions. The first and foremost thing you got to understand, if God said, I want to use you, if God says, I'm going to promote you, then put it in God's hands and understand the protocol of keeping your mouth shut. David had to give instruction to those that were under him. You do not destroy him. Even though God put him into our hands, you do not touch the Lord's anointed and walk away guiltless if you do. You know, we can't walk in the anointing of God and have guilt on our hands. This last trip to New York a couple weeks ago, something happened with me that hasn't happened in 25 years. I knew I was called. I've been avoiding this one little city. I've been preaching around the outskirts because I've caused a lot of problems in that city with the leadership because I have a big mouth and I have opinions. And I've gone through these cycles of see people come, people go. I met an old prophet on the way into town. God told me to take him and his wife to lunch. So I did. And they're sitting there going, why'd you take us to lunch? And I said, God told me to love on you. Why? God told me to love on you. You don't have a word. You don't have a rebuke. No, just going to buy you lunch. So they're like, really? And he starts confessing. He says, I just want to tell you I'm sorry for cursing you. I recognize everybody that's cursed you is either dead or dying or lost limbs. He says, I've lost one leg and I got another one going. He goes, I just want to make sure we're okay. I'm like, dude, I just want to buy you lunch. And so what happens is I go to preach into another city. I go to stop in McDonald's and Brother Castellan, you guys know him. He's my friend. He's an elder of that city. And I run into him in McDonald's. He looked at me and goes, what are you doing here? I said, I'm preaching in Bath today, and then I'm preaching in Elmira. And he stuck his little bony finger in my face. He says, don't forget where God sent you. You haven't been in the city. Can you preach tomorrow? And I went, no. I got this, and this. In the passage of this, I'm dealing with how David, when he had spoils, he shared it with his friends, the elders. I got in the car, and the Holy Spirit said, is he your friend? I said, yeah. Is he an elder of the city? I said, yeah. He said, he just invited you back in. Call the pastor, ask to be excused Sunday morning, because I wasn't preaching, I was on a panel. He says, and come back into the city. Bring your spoils. And I called him at 6 o'clock that night after I arranged everything, and I said, Brother Castellan, were you serious? He goes, absolutely. I said, I'll be there and preach in the morning if you want me to. I came back into the city with some spoils. Something happened with me again. See, I haven't always been nice, even though I've been right. It's not funny. Listen to me. And so there was a season several years ago, the Lord told me to stay out of the city, to go preach on the outskirts. And I would have influence with people that would take seats of authority in that particular city. And here was this thing. He said, son, another man will do the public work because your hands are too bloody here. And I had accepted that. And I've been influencing people in the city. I've been influencing. I mean, tremendous influence. But something happened because I've gone through some processes where I've been invited back. My hands are no longer bloody. And my heart is pure. And I believe God is opening the door for me to rule in that city again. I saw it. I smelt it. I felt it. But listen, these are the tests that you have to go through. Even my mistakes, God can cover. The problem is it may take another season. It may take a 3.5-year cycle for him to reopen that door because he had to remove some people that were in authority that had gotten mad at me. You catching this? This journey with God is not instant. It's a lifetime. And I've watched that cycle of leadership in that city come and go. And I know that I was called to it. Some of you have missed the fact that this is a life sentence of calling. And you've gone through cycles of immaturity, or you've made a mistake, or you've gotten some strengths from that last 3.5-year cycle, that last season. The problem is you're not looking far enough ahead, and therefore you're not making it a benefit. You've become bitter instead of better. It was interesting that I read about God putting them into a deep sleep, and I did all my stuff for this message, and I'm probably not even going to get to it. wasted my time, Jesus. I was up for a couple hours, and I hit the alarm went, and I hit it, and I went into the deepest sleep I have from about 6:30 to about, Mom woke me up at about 10 minutes to 9. I was in a comatose sleep and having deep prophetic dreams. I haven't had that in a long time. And I'm like, I got to church and was like, man, I feel like I'm foggy still. What is it? But I went into a prophetic dreams about some spiritual sons that are taking laps around the mountain that they shouldn't because they wouldn't listen. But it was deep. I think sometimes you need to understand in the middle of the journey, if you'll let God put you in a deep sleep, he can straighten some things out. He did it for David. Why wouldn't he do it for me? I love what David said to Saul when he was on the mountain. He says to Saul, "It is God that has stirred you up against me." Here's David. Gets anointed as a redheaded stepchild. All of his brothers looked better and had to go find him doing what he does. Knows that he's anointed. Got anointed. Started killing bears. Started killing lions. Started killing giants. Had songs written about him. You got to know that there's a progression here. And here he tells Saul from the mountaintop, "It's God that stirred you up against me. I won't take you out because when I do sit in that seat," this is what I get out of that, "it'll be God that put me there, not you. Me serving you doesn't get me there, although I tried to serve you. God called me to sit in that seat." Listen, you got to get it settled. Who's calling you to walk in that kind of authority and power? It ain't the preacher or the prophet or the apostle. Ladies and gentlemen. Either God called you or you're going to be just double-minded the rest of your life. Because David went through the process he went through. He was able to sit on the throne and make judgment according to what he heard God tell him to do, whether the people liked it or not. Even in the midst of his mistakes, he knew that God put him there. That's where you've got to get to when God starts doing these things. But the problem is that David realized that he was no longer beneficial to the Israelites, and he went and served the Philistines. Like, Lord, what are you showing me? He says, you'll find leaders out in the world. They were called to lead the church. The church doesn't want them. They got hurt. They got offended. They're leading the world down the wrong path. He says, all they got to do is have one encounter with me. They're still called to be a leader. He said that the church would get over their religiousness and their accusation. I could clean them up and actually use them. That was good. David served the king of the Philistines. And in the middle of serving that, David said to him, I need a city. And the king gave him the city called Ziklag. This is where I did all that to get where we're at. The problem with David is he knew God had called him to be king. He just didn't deal well with leadership that didn't like him. Leadership won't give up their seat of authority. Not very easily. Unless you've had your own Ziklag. People that want to operate in control and not authority have never had a real Ziklag. That was good. And the problem is, at Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Now David and his men came to Ziklag the third day, and the Amalekites had made a raid against Ziklag, against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both big, small, and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, their wives, their sons, their daughters taken captive. When David and the people were with him, raised their voices and wept until there was no more strength to weep. David's two wives also have been taken captive. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, even his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. I'm telling you, God put you into a position, if you're called to be a king and have great authority, God will put you in a position where the ones that helped you get to that authority has to turn on you. Otherwise, when you get on the throne, you will hear the voices of the people and reject the voice of God. Here's the interesting thing is, Ziklag was a spoil from the season of the Philistines. That was his city that was given to him by a demonic king who thought David would never serve Israel again because he had become a stench to them. Listen, we got some people that run around and curse the church. I hate the church. I hate the church. I laugh. Like, yeah, I used to too. Now I are one of them. I had a bumper sticker. Church sucks. I've been hurt. I've been mad. But the bottom line is I was called to lead it. And some of the people that won't come to church are called to lead it, but they haven't gone through the process of God having their Ziklag, understanding that God's principles is touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. A prophet does. If a guy really knows he's a prophet, he won't defend himself because then God will. Took me 20 years to learn that. If you're really a prophet, get over it. Let God defend you. Nowhere else does it say, touch my anointed, do my pastors no harm. Nah, you can kill them. You can be mean to pastors. You can be mean to evangelists. Do my prophets no harm. You know why? The prophets are the friend of God. And if you're the friend of God, any lesser friend is unneeded. Not for your calling. That went over well. I can see the look in your faces. Ha, Jesus. What is your name? Yeah. Jay? Yeah. I want to pray for you because I think your life is in danger. Dear Lord Jesus, help him because I understand Ron is worried that he's has a crush on his daughter. So Lord, just stretch your hands toward this young man. I had to break it up. Some of you are a little nervous here. I was kidding. That was not of thus saith the Lord. But I had boys. I don't have girls. I don't understand that. All right, listen. Here's the interesting thing about King David. When King David was trying to earn the favor of the Philistine king, he would go raid, okay, the Amalekites and that. But it said that David would not leave one person alive, so they couldn't tell the matter. David would wipe them all out so that they couldn't go tattletale on him. That's pretty rough, man. That's that warrior. That's that bloody side of David. Okay, so then when Ziklag gets taken, you got to realize Ziklag was taken right after all the lords of the Philistines went to the king and said, we don't want him with us. This is where David tells the king, I've served you. I'm faithful. What do you mean? He goes, the lords, all my leaders don't want you anymore. And he started screaming, what have I done? What have I done? I've had people in my office. What have I done? I don't know. It just feels good to do it. Just something about me and God think it needs to be done. I don't have an answer. Some things just need to be done to you. Come on. And we, oh, that's not Christian. No, that's Bible. You think you had a calling? You think you're a prophet? You think you're called by God? And you get offended and you go to Stupidville. I had somebody in my office this morning and actually thanked me for knocking the chip off his shoulder this morning. I've tried knocking chips off some of your shoulders and they leave. I got somebody who wants the chip off his shoulder and to actually be able to be what God called him to be. Not pastoring everything is not always the answer. Sometimes you need to cut something. That was good. All right, go back to David. So his possession is Ziklag. His wife, his kids, all the stuff is there. And it gets burnt with fire, takes all of his possessions and all of his relationships. And it's so dramatic that the very people that helped him get there turn on him. David had to go back to his root. Was I called to be king? Did I call myself to be king? Was I anointed to be king because I wanted to be king, or was this God? He went and inquired of the Lord. Lord, where are we at? Lord, are we supposed to have this church? People say, hey, how's your church? I'm like, man, they're staying away by the hundreds. Let me tell you something. God keeps the records. I have a man that gives to our Charlie Coker ministry every month a very large amount. How many years, Sue? 18, 19 years now? You'd be like, really, that much every month? You know why? I went and drove 2 hours to do a Bible study in Vero Beach on Wednesday mornings, and I was faithful when it was hard to be faithful. God keeps the books. But the bottom line, I heard God say to me, if you'll be faithful with this, I'll be faithful with that. Those are spoils that you earn in the heavenlies. Those are spoils you earn by obedience. Those are things that you get. And so when the trouble comes and the trials come and everybody abandons you, your partner list goes down to two people. And out of the two people, when it goes to two people, and you're, how are you going to survive this ministry? He goes, I think God told me to double my giving. Hey, God. Then God told me, I think I'm, yeah. Come on, baby. I got two people on my partner list now. It's better than the big list I had. You don't have to send thank you notes to two people. Those are spoils. What am I getting at? Have you had your crisis with humanity that makes you hear from God about your future? That's what happened at Ziklag. Ziklag, when David went through Ziklag, here's what he said. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Everybody wanted to stone him and kill him. And David said to the priests, bring me the ephod. He brought out the ephod, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? He asked two questions. The Lord answered him, pursue, you shall overtake them. You shall surely rescue. He got three answers. Two questions, three answers. Would you come through your Ziklag experience and you've been stripped of all your natural resources? You've been stripped of all your natural encouragement, and you have to go back to the encourager himself that started this whole thing with you. Then he gives you the purpose, rescue. Yeah, you pursue, you'll overtake. And by the way, the mission is to rescue. And he finds the reason for all of the problems. So David set out 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook where those who had left behind stayed. But David pursued him and 400 men. 200 stayed behind who were too exhausted to cross the brook. Now listen to this. In your journey, once David stripped himself from man's opinion, heard God, got instructions, he grabs his team, 600 members. 400 said were really in shape, and 200 were built like me. And they were already tired and exhausted. And they stayed back with the stuff. Okay? But they had made the journey up to Ziklag. So they're part of the team. They found an Egyptian in the open country, brought him to David, and they gave him bread and he ate. They gave him water to drink, and they gave him a piece of cake and fig and a cluster of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived. He had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, listen to this, to whom do you belong and where are you from? This is an Egyptian. David had learned something living with the Philistines. He had learned something in the bars. He had learned something in outside of the church, Israel. And he asked the Egyptian, who do you belong to and where are you from? As a pastor and a leader, if I ask, who do you belong to and where are you from? You'll go, oh, no one controls me. I only answer to God. Basically, what you're saying when you answer it that way is you're not under authority, you're not submitted to anybody, and you don't know where you're from, therefore you have no clue where you're going. Come on. But then here's this worldly guy. He said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of some crazy guy, and my master left me behind because I was sick for 3 days, and he had no grace on me, and don't you know I'm better than that? And he raided against this, and I belong to Judah, all this good stuff. And we burnt Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, will you take me down to this band? And he said, here, the worldly guy, swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master. The issue is some of us have been trained in the world system to reign in the church. But until you have your Ziklag, you won't take the information and the protocol that you learned and bring it into righteousness. Listen, David took this Egyptian and he became the CIA, the FBI, the intel. And he goes, all right, where are they at? Where are they going to? And he made a deal with him. Why? Because I'm going to go kill him. I'm going to get my stuff back. I'm going to give some spoils. He wasn't very pastoral, was he? You have to understand how to gain regional rulership. When he had taken them down, behold, they were spread abroad all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoils they had taken from the land of the Philistines. Let's change that, from the great spoils that he had taken from David. And David struck them down to twilight until evening, and the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men that mounted on camels and fled. David recovered, there's the key, all that they had taken, and David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, neither small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David brought back all. David also captured all the flocks and herds, and the people drove the livestock to him and said, this is David's spoil. Come on. Let me tell you something. Everybody has a vote. Democracy would never let David own the spoils. Because I have a vote. No, this is a kingdom. No, you don't have a vote on certain things. David was anointed leader. David is anointed with instruction. And when the spoils came into the hands, it came into the hands of David. And some of you get upset. Well, who do you think you are? Problem is, you don't know who I am. One of my spiritual sons worked for a company that did car stuff. And he was like, I'm making my boss so much money. And he should share that with me. I'm like, are you getting paid a commission? Shut up and go to work. It's none of your business how much money your boss is making. You made a deal to work for X amount to make this, and now you're becoming bitter because you're actually making your boss rich. If you had a different mentality, maybe he would make you rich. He didn't force you to work for him. That was good. Listen to this. This is David's spoil. Get this. Then David came to the 200 men that had been too exhausted to follow David, and he who had been left at the brook. They went out to meet David and met the people where they were. And David came near to the people. He greeted them. Listen to this. Then all the wicked and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each one may have his wife and children and depart. But David said, we should not do this. Listen, what are they saying? Okay, six of us, 600 of us started this journey. 200 became wimpy. They became baggage handlers and couldn't go. They got old, fat, lazy. Maybe some of them got into fear. 200 stayed back. 400 went under the anointing, under the leadership, and had tremendous success, had all the spoils. What did wicked, worthless men said? These 200 can't have it. Do you know the worst curse that they gave on these 200 men? How many are married in here? All right, let me explain something to you. When you walk back in the door, you've recovered your wife and your children, and that's all you got is your wife and your children, and they got all the money and all the toys and all the spoils, and you didn't get any, you would hear that nagging, if you weren't fat, if you weren't lazy, if you'd been the warrior you're supposed to been, you would have had a portion of the spoils. And I'm telling you, that is the worst curse they could have ever done. That's called divorce. Who wants to live in a household where someone accuses you of being fat, lazy, unwilling to be a warrior? Just saying. All right, let me preach because I'm getting in trouble. Listen to this. David said, you shall not do this, my brothers, for what the Lord has given us, he has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. Who will listen to you in this matter? For as his share is to go down into the battle, so shall we share with those who stayed with the baggage. They shall share alike. And he made it a statue and a rule for the Israel for the days forward until this day. David understood oneness. When you have your zigzag experience, you'll separate the pressure of man, receive the anointing of God. You'll get a word of God that is added to the two questions, and you'll rescue, and you rescue all, and you rescue it for all. That's true humility. David knew without those 200 that had gotten tired, who couldn't go to, he would have never gotten to that point. My question is, who have you rejected who only took you so far? Maybe they could only get you through a couple situations. And now you're saying, oh, that preacher could only take me so far. Well, but he got you that far. Somebody else God sent to pick up on that. And if you don't go fix it, if you don't say, I thank you for taking me as far as you could, that you're not realizing that this is God's journey and not yours. Is this good? Who has got you where you're at? Or maybe you're not going forward because you're not been grateful as far as they took you. Maybe you're just cursing them because you expected them to take you further than you yourself were unwilling to go. Is this making sense? Oneness. The last part of this, when David came to Ziklag, he set apart the spoils of his friends, the elders of Judah, and said, here is a present for you from the spoils of the enemy of the Lord. It was for you in Bethel and Rehob and all those cities. And all the places that David had roamed. The point of the matter was, why, if you don't realize God has anointed you to recover and restore, then you'll build your own kingdom. And you won't deal with the worthless, wicked men who want to separate because someone didn't put the same amount of effort you did. Then we have to have the 11th hour worker parable who comes in at the end and you get bitter. Well, I've been doing this for 20 years. He walked in 2 years and he does that. Really? That's progress. unless you're bitter, and you're judgmental, and you're critical. How many have Christ in them? Yeah. So are we one? Oh. And why are we so divided? Why are we so divided? How many have gone through a crisis in a church situation or in a relationship situation? And you could be like David and ask the question, what have I done? And you evaluate what you have done or what you didn't do. And you come up to the conclusion is this judgment or this rejection is not worth, this behavior wasn't worth that. Maybe it was God. Maybe it was God putting you in a position for promotion and you're too blindsided to see it. Yesterday, we helped my youngest son load up some of his stuff because they're moving to Tennessee. My 92-year-old father let him use his car. He just needed a vehicle for a few months. Where's he moving? Chattanooga? Right outside Chattanooga. So they got his big truck loaded up and got my dad's car on there. And his brother-in-law is going, they got to unload this thing today. His brother-in-law has to get on an airplane tonight at 8 o'clock. The place they were going to move it into the storage lost their stuff, so they had to scramble to find another place to load it. And somehow, through Facebook or whatever, this guy named Josh Foggin? Lives nearby, and they had communicated with it. And so they used to live here. They live there now. And all of a sudden, he's going to help him unload it. And I heard the Lord say, it's a harvest from a seed that your father sowed. What? What does that mean? I believe that my young son is moving into the Bible Belt. He thinks he's getting away from me. It's probably not going to work for him. He's talking about, man, there's a lot of religion around here. Yeah, it is. Church of God in Christ, Church of Cleveland. I mean, he's gonna get whacked. So he's borrowing my dad's car. He's pulling it up there. He needs to borrow it for a couple months. The young man that says, I'll come and I'll bring my friends, we'll do it. Gosh, how old was he? 16, 17? My dad, His grandmother worked for me, this kid, Josh. And my dad, when he bought that Honda, maybe two cars ago, gave this kid a car. And it all comes back, and God says, you have no idea the seed that you have in the ground or when the harvest is going to be needed. So it just kind of, like, you can't do the math on some of this. You can't. So what am I saying? Is my prayer life is changing because there's some promises on that boy. And if he needs to go to Tennessee to run into God, go to Tennessee and run into God. If he needs to see the hand of, because this guy, Josh, he's a worship leader, his father-in-law is a pastor. Dude, he's messed up. He's it's just X marks the spot. Yeah. You know, so what I'm saying is, sometimes you get rejected or you get pushed out or you don't feel like you belong. Most of the time you don't feel like you belong because you quit doing what you're supposed to. I don't feel a part. Well, you're probably not doing your part. What part are you supposed to be doing? Then you'll feel like you're part. Get along with God. Say, Lord, I have things I've lost. I've had relationships that I've lost. I have possessions that I've lost. How do I pursue? How do I recover? Lord, maybe I've just been asking for pursue and recover. Maybe I lost the focus of how do I rescue? And who do I rescue in the process? There's some crazy gifted people coming to our church in the near future. Some of you need to pastor them because I'm not. I'm going to train them. It was really funny because the Lord spoke that this morning to me, and then this person comes in and says, thank you for knocking that chip off my shoulder. I said, dude, I was actually aiming for your head. You ducked and the chip got gone. Isn't that what happens? So what am I saying as your pastor, as your leader? Embrace the process. Get along with God. Find out how to pursue. How to rescue. The things is, if you don't understand the value of your season, you'll never get the increase of your harvest. You've got to understand nothing in the kingdom has been by accident. It might have been your stupidity, may have been your sinful nature, but let me tell you something. You get burnt on that, you won't do that again. You learn something. You learn something. I am not doing that again. I had a prophecy for somebody this week, and I started to do my normal. And the Lord said, you really want to do that? I'm getting a prophecy from God for this person. And the Lord says, you really want to do that? I'm like, what are you doing, Lord? And he goes, because when you start, this man's going to take about 7 hours of your time. I ain't got 7 hours of that man. That's Dan's problem. Dan, let me sick you on him. What am I saying? Listen, your time, your energy, your effort. We've got to understand that we're warriors. We're rulers. And God is trying to anoint us to set us in seats of great authority. So that when the spoils come, you want me to give you the New Testament version of this? And they brought all the resources, Acts chapter 4, and set it at the apostles' feet for proper distribution. David set the precedence for proper distribution when there's a great spoil. And I believe God is anointing the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And God is going to start putting resources for proper distribution. Why? Because we're either one or we're none. Here's the problem. The church has been so pastor-focused, we've become their shepherd. And the people come into here looking for us to lay them down by green pastures so they shall not want. And they're looking to the church so they shall not want. We've never led them to Christ. If Jesus Christ is your shepherd and you shall not want, then why are you always in need? Because somebody hasn't trained you. Somebody hasn't made you man up. Somebody had told you this behavior is why you are lacking here. That's not real pastoral, but is absolutely a necessity for us to come to maturity. I think I'm done. What am I saying? Who's your source? What has God called you to? See, there's a difference between anointing and authority. God anoints you to do the things that you are not capable of doing. But authority comes by managing the anointing in true character. Therefore, you get authority because of taking the anointing and sitting properly in your seat of authority. That's character. There's too many people that have been running with their anointing and they've never been established and they actually have no authority. Oh, just because you can get a couple people healed and you carry an anointing for healing. That's great. We need it. Body needs it. But let me tell you something. When you can't pay your bills, go heal yourself, you old sick thing. When you haven't engaged and become part of a family, and then you have a crisis and you wonder why you feel alone. God is a father. He's not your sugar daddy. This church is shifting. We've been doing it for a year, but we're really starting to sit in the seats of authority. I'm going to start teaching and training specifically. I'm going to go after the way some of you spend your money, because it's really ungodly. I feel the fear in the room right there. It's absolutely ridiculous, some of the things I see. What am I telling you? The pastoral grace that everything's okay is coming off me. At the same time, there's a pastoral grace on Mike and Rodney. Got any? Rodney's a little pastoral, not much. You might want to stay away from Rodney. Anyway, what am I saying? Is there's pastors emerging. There's evangelists emerging. The apostolic is emerging. The prophetic is starting to turn back on again. I'm going to tell you what the prophetic starts doing. It finds out where we're supposed to be going. It points the direction. Then it will actually find out why we're not going. Your sin, your laziness, your lack of commitment. Could have had B8. Serious, guys. We as a church are supposed to be a force to be reckoned with. This family fun day, I have to tell you, I believe that it is. It's probably my first attempt to play good in the neighborhood. I haven't always played good in the neighborhood. Okay? Do we want to win our city? Then we got to get involved in our city. Come on, let's get this straight up talk. Now, I wish God would make us wealthy enough I'd just throw money and not have to talk to you. That's probably not going to happen. He probably wants us to be involved and make money. Yeah. All right. So are we going to complain about the 200 that got tired? Let me tell you something. It's the 200 that were here when you weren't here that are tired. I've been the 200. We didn't have enough emotions to get up and witness to somebody. Oh, God, they may want something. Why lead him to Jesus? Because I don't think I found him. I'm tired. I'm weary. But I'm still here. But there's people coming that are called to be rulers, called to be warriors, and are going to help us facilitate to become a habitation of his grace. Stand to your feet. Lord, I felt like I just preached to my family today. Lord, I feel in some ways it's kind of when Susie and I were moving from Vero Beach to over here in 1994. I had to lay it out to my wife and to my children. We're going into a new season. We're going into a new place. We're going into a new challenge. And God, as a church, I'm asking you to bring every individual to their zigzag quickly. Anoint them to get through it. Anoint them with specific anointings and confirmations of what you called individually us to do, and then seal it with the corporate seal. Seal it with a corporate demand for this city and this region. I ask you to position us to bring in the prostitutes, the drug addicts. But God, don't bring them in till we are in position to help them, heal them, mature them, and walk with them, and teach and train them. Father, I thank you for deliverance, but that's the beginning. Relationship and training is what needs to happen more and more. So God, I thank you for sending them to us. I thank you to teach us how to rescue. God, we have a lot of warriors in this church. But some of us are weary. Some of us have been weary because we're not using wisdom. So I thank you that wisdom is being released in the house. God, I just thank you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your purpose, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.